Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into Lita Citron's Control the Narrative. Sophie, you read this one too, right? What's the big idea here?
Yeah, and it's one of those books that feels like a wake-up call. Basically, Citron says that if you don't actively shape the story people tell about you, someone else will. And that someone else might not have your best interests at heart.
Right. It's not just about CEOs or politicians. She makes the case that every single person has a narrative being written every day by their actions and words.
Exactly. Most of us are passive authors of our own lives. We assume good work speaks for itself, but that's a dangerous assumption. There's often a big gap between what you intend to communicate and what people actually perceive.
And that gap is where misunderstandings and missed opportunities happen. I love how she reframes it from branding to narrative. A brand is a promise, but a narrative is the evidence of that promise being kept or broken.
That's such a clean way to put it. The narrative is the story people tell themselves about you when you're not in the room, and she gives a framework to take control of it.
So what's the first step? I'm guessing it's not just jumping on social media and posting more.
No, it's actually the opposite. She says you can't control a narrative you don't understand. So the first step is a rigorous self-assessment. You have to audit your current reputation.
That sounds uncomfortable. Honestly, don't want to know what people really think of me?
It's not comfortable, but it's essential. You ask hard questions. How am I perceived by my boss, my clients, my employees? What stories are circulating about me? Are they accurate? She calls this taking a baseline. Without it, you're just shooting arrows in the dark.
Okay, so once you have that baseline, what then? You just start tweeting positive stuff?
No, the next step is to define your desired narrative. She introduces this concept of the North Star. It's your guiding principle, the fundamental truth of who you are and what you stand for. It's not a marketing slogan.
And it has to be authentic, right? Because people can smell a fake from a mile away.
Exactly. An aspirational but grounded narrative is powerful. A fabricated one is a ticking time bomb.
All right, so we've got the baseline and the North Star. How do you actually bridge the gap between the two? That's the heart of the book, I think.
It is. And she gives three levers you can pull. The first is your behavior. Everything you do sends a signal. The way you treat a subordinate, the way you handle a mistake, the way you show up to a meeting. These are all data points.
So it's about being hyper-aware of those touch points, those moments where impressions are formed. If you consistently align your behavior with your desired narrative, people start to trust the pattern.
Right. The second lever is communication. And this is where she gets really practical. She says most people communicate in a self-centered way, focusing on what they want to say instead of what the audience needs to hear.
Yeah, I've been guilty of that. So what's the fix?
She introduces the message house. At the top is your core message, the one thing you want people to remember. Underneath are 3 to 5 supporting pillars, backed by evidence or stories. It keeps your communication focused and hard to misinterpret.
That makes sense. And the third lever?
Your network. No narrative exists in a vacuum. It's shaped by other voices. So you need to build a coalition of advocates who can amplify your story. And the key is to invest in those relationships long before you need them.
Because when a crisis hits, it's too late to start building trust. That's such a good point. And speaking of crisis, that section of the book is intense. She says the true test of narrative control is how you respond when things go wrong.
Absolutely. The first rule is to act quickly. Silence is suspicious in the digital age. The longer you wait, the more time others have to fill the void with their own version of events.
And then you have to take responsibility. She's ruthless about that. Blame shifting and defensiveness are the fastest ways to destroy your reputation.
Right. Audiences are forgiving of mistakes if you're honest and have a plan to fix it. They're merciless with liars. She calls it the apology triangle: regret, responsibility, and commitment to change. A partial apology is worse than none.
And she warns against over-explaining. In a crisis, less is more. acknowledge, understand the impact, outline the fix, then shut up and do it. Actions are the most powerful narrative tool.
That's so true. Throughout the book, she comes back to authenticity. She warns against spin, trying to manipulate the truth. In the short term, spin might work, but the truth always comes out. When it does, the gap between the spun narrative and reality becomes a credibility crater.
So it's not about deception, it's about clarity. You're cutting through the noise so your genuine value gets seen.
Yes, and she has a whole section on the digital landscape, which is so relevant. The internet has made reputation management more volatile. A single tweet can undo years of work. So she advises regular digital audits to monitor what's being said about you online.
And you have to own your digital presence, right? A professional website, a thoughtful LinkedIn profile, a consistent voice across platforms. And you can't just broadcast, you have to engage.
Exactly. If you're not participating in the conversation, you're ceding control to others.
One of the most interesting chapters for me was about the psychology of perception. She says people don't see reality. They see their own version filtered through their biases and experiences.
Which means the same action can be interpreted completely differently by different people. To control the narrative, you have to understand the lens your audience is looking through. She calls it perspective taking, and it's a skill you can practice.
So you can anticipate how your actions will be perceived and adjust to close the gap between intention and impact. That's powerful.
And she's got case studies throughout, though she often avoids naming names so the principles stand on their own. She shows how leaders who were transparent, humble, and decisive weathered storms that sink others.
And those who ignored the power of narrative or tried to manipulate it paid the price. There's a story she tells about a company that tried to spin their way out of scandal, and it just made things worse.
Right.
The book also looks to the future. With AI and deepfakes, it's only going to get harder to discern truth. So trust becomes the most valuable currency. And trust is built through consistent, authentic narratives over time.
Her ultimate message is empowering, though. You're not a victim of your reputation, you're its author. The pen is in your hand. The question is whether you have the courage to use it.
And that's what I'm taking away too. It's not a quick fix guide, but a disciplined approach to being seen for who you truly are. And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, starting at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. Control the narrative is a reminder that your reputation isn't something that happens to you. It's something you build, brick by brick, story by story. And in a world that's always trying to define you, the most radical act is to define yourself. We'll see you in the next one.